Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Jawad, the host of this program, and Shatavid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the month of Ramadan based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Shatavid, during the month of Ramadan, you know, a duty bound decides to break his fast for any reasons that he has, right?
Yes.
But he changes his mind before doing so, before breaking his fast. So the first question is that, is fast valid? Well, what about the other types of fasting, not, for example, during Ramadan?
Well, we know for sure that niyat is an important element. It's a basic element. And without niyat, innamal a'mal bin niyat, you know, no action, no religious practice is valid without a proper niyyah. And niyyah is a rukn, as we say in Arabic. So when it comes to fasting during the month of Ramadan, if a person ceases intending to fast, for example, in other words, he does not have the intention to continue fasting because it's a matter of niyyah, you know. Just if you stop, if you stop or if you discontinue fasting and you have the intention not to fast, that's enough. It invalidates your fast because without niyyah, your action will be null and void.
Mm-hmm.
And so you cannot proceed, okay? But the thing is that if you happen to do so, although you have made a mistake, you have committed a sin by breaking your fast, by ceasing to have that intention, you cannot commit any kind of acts which invalidates the fast. For example, you cannot; it's not permissible for you to eat or to drink something or mm-hmm. to engage in a sexual activity. And so on and so forth. All of those practices during the day of Ramadan are forbidden for you.
Right.
So, and in the event, for example, that you doubt whether you actually decided to not to fast or you did not, because you entertain doubt, then, of course, your fast is valid. Because in the first place, when you just go back, you are sure that you made the niyyah to fast. But during the day, in the evening, you just start doubting whether you actually did such a thing or not, whether you broke your fast by ceasing to have the intention or not.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, your fast remains in order and there would be no objection to you. When it comes to the first case, of course, when it comes to to breaking your fast by discontinuing the niyyah, then of course your fast becomes void and you have to.
What about the other fast? Not during Ramadan.
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference because all forms of fasting, all kinds of fasting, whether mm-hmm. it's mustahab, whether
yes.
it is fasting by way of nadhar. Or it is in obligatory fast of the month of Ramadan, it makes no difference. When you stop intending to fast, then your fast becomes void, and no matter what the type of the fast or what kind of fast you are observing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but of course, when it comes to obligatory fast, not only the qadha becomes obligatory, but you should also give a penalty,
mm-hmm.
and of course, the penalty is there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sheikh Tawid.
Sure.
Thank you very much for listening to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. From me and the rest of the crew, we say wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun Mahjabilaha illahum Ghaffarun سميع بصير. إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو.
God's Month. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Salam and welcome to another episode of this series. God says in part of Ayah 69 of Surah Ma'idah, those who have faith in Allah and the Last Day and act righteously, they will have no fear nor will they grieve. Dear listeners, this is the calm and tranquility that Allah has promised the faithful. This calm will keep them from any worry. Feeling secure is the root of all bounties. Many ayahs and statements of the Prophet and the Imams stress that security is originated in faith in God and that, on the contrary, feeling insecure and anxiety stem from unfaith. In continuation of Dua Iftitah, Imam Mahdi says, "All praise belongs to Allah, who makes the fearful and rescues the righteous." Faith in God and being certain that everything is in His power bring calm to the heart. This calm then prevails in society and makes it secure against worries and fears. Religion teaches us that the universal calm and security will materialize only during the rule of Imam Mahdi, may God expedite his reappearance. God promises the materialization of a secure society in Ayah 55 of Surah Nur. Allah has promised those of you who have faith and do righteous deeds that will surely make them successors in the earth, just as He made those who were before them successors, and will surely establish for them their religion which He has approved for them, and that He will surely change their state to security after their fear while they worship Me. The great exegete of the 20th century, Allama Sayyid Muhammad Hussein Tabatabai, writes in this ayah, "This ayah is a beautiful promise to the faithful who do righteous deeds. They have been promised that soon a righteous society will be formed and God will give the authority of the earth to those who were the weak and oppressed. He will replace their fear with security in a way that they will be immune from the stratagem of the hypocrites and the unfaithful. They will worship God freely and will not associate anything with Him. God considers the establishment of such a righteous government under the condition of formation of the religion which He has chosen for the faithful, and that is the religion of the last prophet, namely Islam." Islam is not a personal and isolationist religion. It is a social religion whose ultimate aim is to establish justice and security for all. God, who is introduced by Islam, is not merely the God of individuals, but the God of society and universal civilization too. He has ordained and proclaimed his rules and regulations in a way that human beings would be ready for reaching the ideal society. He is the great God who is satisfied with greatness for his servants. In view of this, the servants are as great as their goals and concerns. He who thinks of reformation of all has a much greater and loftier goal than the one who is just concerned of his personal affairs. Of course, the reformation of individuals will take place through reformation of the society. This is the ultimate goal which God likes. The Imam of the age continues in Dua Iftitah, supplication of opening and starting, and brings up the downtrodden and bring down the arrogant. Here, Imam Mahdi praises Allah, who take up who have been kept weak and abased, while bringing down those who are haughty and arrogant. Today, human community has become insecure owing to the difference in ideologies and fanatic thoughts. These man-made creeds and schools have made planet Earth an insecure place for mankind. Although human communities have made progress, their progress and growth have not been balanced. In spite of scientific progresses, immorality and insecurity are on the rise. In an unbridled way, monopoly and arrogance have corrupted mankind. The history of Europe and the United States of America shamefully reveal that the current progresses have been shaped on boundless crimes and oppression. The wealth of the rich in Europe and the US has been achieved at the price of starvation, slavery, and massacre of hundreds of millions of humans in the four continents. Silence against injustice is pure injustice. History should be written again, not by those who have occupied and usurped the lands of weak nations, but by the weak nations themselves. We should not be content with the progress built on blood. The rule of Imam Mahdi will end this disgraceful history, and there won't be any trace of oppression, occupation, usurpation, and exploitation.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Iran claims that it is building nuclear fuel cycle facilities primarily to meet future electricity needs while preserving oil and gas for export. On the other hand, Western critics say that Iran's gas reserves are the second largest in the world, and Iran flares enough gas annually to generate electricity equivalent to the output of 4 Bushehr reactors. Meanwhile, independent experts suggest that, considering the historic difficulties that U.S. policymakers have had with petroleum economics, it seems possible that these assertions are wrong. Because Iran's dependence on export revenue for now suggests that it could need nuclear power as badly as it claims. Recent analyses project that oil exports could go to zero within 12 to 19 years. It therefore seems genuine that Iran needs nuclear power in response to the anticipated export revenue shortfalls. The Islamic Republic of Iran is among the world's top 8 countries that possesses a complete nuclear fuel cycle. In the nuclear science and industry, Iranian scientists have made so much progress that they can design modern fuel themselves instead of reverse engineering and using others' designs, which is a great scientific achievement for anyone. Iranian officials believe that in the view of the war in Ukraine and the unprecedented energy crisis that Europe has been facing, if nuclear talks conclude and unilateral and illegal sanctions are lifted, Iran can meet a larger part of Europe's needs. Naturally, Iran is one of the most important countries supplying fuel and energy needed by different countries in the world due to its rich oil and gas resources. Based on its capabilities and capacities, Iran has been able to maintain its presence in the energy market even under the toughest sanctions. To take a closer look at what's actually taking place on the ground, please join us on this edition of Iran Today. Iran designated April 9th as the National Nuclear Technology Day back in 2006 when the country enriched uranium on an industrial scale for the first time. Since then, the country has seen steady progress in this sector, from building nuclear power plants to centrifuges and radiopharmaceuticals. This national day is seen as an occasion for the country to reaffirm its right to a peaceful nuclear energy program. Sanctions have been haunting Iran's nuclear industry since the country indigenized the key sector. Tehran calls the sanctions illegal and unfair, for it has insisted since before the conclusion of the 2015 JCPOA, also known as the nuclear deal, or up until now, weapons of mass destruction have no place on the Islamic Republic's agenda, and that its nuclear program is totally civilian.
In my opinion, Iran fulfilled its obligations, reduced its uranium enrichment, and practically turned its Fordow plant into a research center so that Natanz becomes Iran's only enrichment center. Iran did all these measures because it was optimistic about the West. Iran also started reducing its commitments based on the strategic law of the parliament. Iran first increased the enrichment from 3.60% to 20%, restarted the Fordow power plant, and increased its enrichment to 60% by installing new centrifuges. Of course, all this was based on the JCPOA and under the supervision of the agency's inspections.
Under the JCPOA, Iran made a series of commitments, including eliminating its stockpile of medium-enriched uranium, cutting its stockpile of low-enriched uranium by 98%, and reducing the number of its gas centrifuges by about two-thirds. Iran also agreed not to build any new heavy water facilities for an extended period of time. To monitor and verify Iran's compliance with the agreement, the International Atomic Energy Agency was given regular access to all Iranian nuclear facilities. The agreement provided that in return for verifiably abiding by its commitments, Iran will receive relief from the U.S., European Union, and United Nations Security Council nuclear-related sanctions. Accordingly, in May 2019, the IAEA certified that Iran was abiding by the deal's main terms. However, unilateral sanctions reimposed by the United States in 2018 inflicted an estimated $1 trillion worth of damage on Iran's economy, and Tehran expects compensation now. In the history of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, no country other than Iran has ever voluntarily agreed to put such extraordinary restrictions on its nuclear activities, according to an IAEA expert.
Iran has always had full cooperation with the IAEA and allowed for inspection of its nuclear sites, but calls the nuclear agency's maneuvers against Iran destructive. Iranian officials claim that the recent issues and approaches adopted by the IAEA are based on U.S.-Israeli deceptions. Therefore, Tehran has asked the IAEA to stop politicizing issues and focus on the technical aspects in line with the organization's mandate. In the past, they have called on Director General of the IAEA, Rafael Grossi, to stop Israeli influence approach on other findings and emphasize that Tehran will never surrender to the political behavior of the UN nuclear watchdog that is affected by Zionist pressures.
The main point is that Israel is not a member of human rights organizations at all. Although it's not a member of the NPT at all, it comments against Iran's peaceful nuclear activities and has no commitment to any international organization. It is said that Israel has between 250 and 400 nuclear warheads. They themselves implicitly confirm this issue, but they have never allowed a single inspector from the Atomic Energy Agency to visit their nuclear arsenals. This is despite the fact that there are hundreds of cameras in Iran and countless inspections are carried out intrusively.
Iran's nuclear program was probed by a record number of international inspections last year, as monitors were given broad access to atomic data and facilities. The IAEA conducted more than one inspection a day in 2022 among Iran's 21 declared nuclear facilities, the Vienna-based agency said this month in a restricted report leaked to the Western media. Inspections rose to a record even after Iran's decision to hold back some data and prevent snap visits from February 2021. While IAEA Director General Rafael Grossi said his inspectors were seriously affected by Iran's decision to stop implementation of the 2015 agreement as it responded to Trump's illegal withdrawal, they continued verifying uranium inventories. Since Iran curtailed its sweeping access after the 2018, the IAEA negotiated a series of side agreements to retain agency video footage inside places where inspectors are no longer welcomed. The agency stands ready to tackle the intense verification challenges should the JCPOA be restored, Grossi said. Inspectors continue to gain access to Iran under the IAEA's so-called Comprehensive Safeguards Agreement, which is the standard set of rules adopted by most countries as part of their commitments under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Iran could restrict monitoring even further by leaving the NPT, as it has repeatedly warned to do so if it's referred back to the United Nations Security Council by any twisted method of justification.
In the JCPOA, they promised that the Arak reactor would be built with Iranian experts under Chinese supervision and with American scientific approval. The United States withdrew from the JCPOA in 2015 and did not fulfill its promises at all. After the withdrawal of the United States, England was supposed to help Iran instead, but this did not happen. China was not satisfied to implement its commitment in this partnership either. Another promise that was made and was not fulfilled is the issue of nuclear cooperation between Iran and the Western countries. They had promised that under the JCPOA, they would help Iran's peaceful nuclear activities. Not only did they not help, but they imposed more sanctions against us. There were other commitments in the field of economic activities and the lifting of sanctions, which, it is clear, were not fulfilled in any way, but more sanctions were imposed against the Iranian nation.
In March 2023, the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran and the International Atomic Energy Agency issued a joint statement at the end of the two-day visit of the agency director. They agree that Iran, on a voluntary basis, will continue to allow the IAEA to implement further appropriate verification and monitoring activities. Modalities regarding Iran's new advancements will be agreed between the two sides in the course of a technical meeting, which will take place soon in Tehran.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There's plenty more right after a quick diversion into world media.
Here's how it looks on the page. English Al-Arabiya reads, Iran minister interested in developing peaceful nuclear energy with Russia, RIA. Iran is ready to expand its cooperation with Russia in the energy sector, including in the development of peaceful nuclear energy. Iranian Economy Minister Ehsan Khanduzi said in an interview with Russia's RIA state news agency. The prospect of cooperation in the field of new energy and renewable energy sources, as well as in the field of other types of energy, including peaceful nuclear energy, certainly causes great interest and motivation for expanding economic relations with Russia, Khanduzi said in remarks published on Tuesday. IFP News says, Iran says ready for nuclear cooperation with Saudi Arabia. The director of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran says the country will definitely engage in nuclear cooperation with Saudi Arabia. Mohammad Islami referred to messages Iran has received from the Saudi side that shows Riyadh is pleased with the recent rapprochement with Tehran. He said in order to serve the people of Saudi Arabia, the two countries will work in the field of radio medicine. Islami further spoke of Iran's achievements in nuclear technology, saying the country has made a PET scan machine that is used for diagnosis of cancer. According to Tasnim News, Iran to conduct hot testing of nuclear fuel transportation container. The head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran unveiled plans for the hot testing of a container used for the transportation of fuel of reactors at the country's Bushehr nuclear power plant. Speaking to reporters on Saturday, Mohammad Islami said the standard and safe container for the transportation of Bushehr nuclear power plant's fuel is being shipped from the southern port city of Bandar Abbas to the Bushehr port and needs to undergo hot testing. Hailing the AEOI's progress in the current Iranian year, which ends on Monday, Islami said that domestic scientists have crowned more than 150 research and technological achievements. He also highlighted the nuclear industry's contribution to the medical sector, noting that over 300 patients have received plasma therapy treatment in the past months. In January, Islami said Iran is ranked among the world's top five countries in the production of radiopharmaceuticals, which are exported to 9 foreign countries. This year will be the 17th year Iran celebrates a national day to mark its achievements in the nuclear industry. Iran in recent years has made great headways in manufacturing a broad range of indigenous equipment in the area of peaceful nuclear technology.
I think the most important achievement of Iran's nuclear industry is self-confidence. It is valuable that some young people around 25 years old together with Iranian scientists around 50 years old got together in a professional collaboration and formed 3 teams. The first team designing Iran's peaceful nuclear activities, the second team implementing what have been designed, and the third team utilizing the attempts and products of the previous 2 teams under the supervision of the Atomic Energy Agency.
In my opinion, this self-belief and teamwork was a great achievement that showed that the Iranian people can stand on their own feet and achieve this technology. This was while no country was willing to provide nuclear technology to Iran.
A while back, the head of Atomic Energy Organization of Iran, Mohammad Islami, said that homegrown radiopharmaceuticals have been produced for the treatment of cancer and will enter its clinical phase after receiving license from the Ministry of Health and Medical Education. While expounding on programs devised at Atomic Energy Organization of Iran, Islami reiterated that the organization will unveil important programs and achievements in the fields of health, agriculture, and radiation of products and food on National Nuclear Technology Day.
In our cement industry, there is a substance called californium-252, which is maybe the size of a peanut. You can put this under the conveyor belt that is producing the product, and then you know what purity it has and what it has without having to take the product to the lab. Well, when you don't have this, you have to transport 10 tons of the product to the laboratory. Well, how are these materials obtained? Of course, through the nuclear industry. In the areas of drilling wells, oils, for example, to be able to identify what oil is like, how much it is, or underground water. All of these require atomic materials.
Moreover, Iran has previously announced the production of several radio medicines, including lutetium-177, to treat a number of difficult-to-treat diseases like cancer. With a half-life of 7 days, Iranian-made LU-177 will have a stronger effect compared to LU-77 and is the indigenized version of the medicine. LU-177 works to destroy cancerous tumors by connecting to the receptors of the tumor and spreading rays in the affected area. This mechanism helps prevent metastasis by disrupting blood circulation around the tumor. It is a type of radionuclide which has drawn attention from global scientists. The new generation LU-177 has low-energy photons and facilitates gamma camera imaging.
The nuclear industry is a must for countries that have a medium size like ours, that is countries with a relatively large population, 80 or 90 million people. Why? Because the nuclear industry is related to the pharmaceuticals, and Iran has at least 1 million patients who are using radiopharmaceuticals. And you should know that Pars Isotope Company, which operates in this field, wrote a letter in which it is stated that the U.S. government says it has not put sanctions on medicine and sent a letter to the U.S. Treasury Department. The U.S. government first said that the letter was under investigation. Then again, it asked for more information and finally announced that you are affiliated with the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran. In fact, they make excuses for not providing service to Iran. They know that by doing this, they are depriving the Iranian nation of radiopharmaceuticals.
Possessing 50 types of radiopharmaceuticals, Iran ranks first in the region and exports its products to other countries. Iran had also earlier produced other radiopharmaceuticals, including samarium-153, phosphorus-32, yttrium-90, and iodine. Referring to the fact that Iran is now among the top and prominent countries in the field of nuclear knowledge, Islami noted that Iran obtained this knowledge by relying on its own human resources.
We definitely need nuclear power. In your electricity basket, you cannot just rely on hydroelectricity. Well, our hydroelectricity supply is about 12% now. At one time, it supplied 18%. As much as the rainfall decreases, it also decreases. Even I want to say that you cannot always rely on electricity that comes from wind and sun. So, you have to produce electricity that is non-polluting, like atomic electricity. A country like Iran, which has enough engineers and has enough education, must have atomic electricity and use it in various fields, such as agriculture and industry.
The enemies did whatever they could to prevent the Islamic Republic from reaching these achievements in the nuclear industry. For instance, some of the sanctions imposed on the Iranian nation include banning the import of 20% purity uranium needed for producing pharmaceuticals used in cancer therapy and treatment of certain diseases. More than 1 million Iranian patients use nuclear medicine annually. This is a very important issue since today many countries are facing serious problems due to lack of nuclear drugs. No country in history has been subjected to such technological and scientific sanctions like Iran.
Ever since Iran's nuclear case was brought up in the world community in 2002, Israel started sabotaging Iran's nuclear facilities. This project of theirs in the fight against Iran's peaceful nuclear activity is not limited to military dimensions only, but also has political and technical dimensions. The Stuxnet virus that happened in the Bushehr power plant could have turned into a global disaster like the Chernobyl. But Israel is not worried at all. It carries out the operation very easily, or the attack that was carried out on the Natanz facilities in June 2021. Israel was indirectly responsible for this, and Iran also announced that this sabotage is related to Israel. In addition to these, we should not forget the assassination of nuclear scientists. The cabinet of the Zionist regime allocates $3 billion of funds for a military attack on Iran's nuclear facilities.
Iran's nuclear field has become such an issue that the state terrorists of America and Israel have made a lot of covert plans and projects to destroy it, one of which was Stuxnet. According to experts, Stuxnet is a powerful computer worm designed by U.S. and Israeli intelligence to disable a key part of the Iranian nuclear program. Targeted at an air-gapped facility and unexpectedly spread to the outside computer systems, raising a number of questions about its design and purpose.
As you know, when Ariel Sharon becomes the Prime Minister of Israel, Dagon becomes the head of the Mossad. Dagon's last mission was to stop Iran's nuclear program. Dagon himself, who is now dead, writes in his memoirs and admits that the first action against the Iranian nation was to prepare a list of Iran's nuclear and defense scientists. Then, he says, we came up with a list of 10 people and planned to eliminate them. 2 days before the assassination of Martir Rezai Nejad, the head of the military intelligence service of the Israeli army says that if a scientist is killed in Iran, he will not shed tears because of it.
In addition, Iranian nuclear scientists have repeatedly fallen victim to the Israeli regime's state terrorism in recent years, while the international community has kept silent. Iran has made it clear that these crimes won't go unpunished. The criminal act of assassinating nuclear scientists is an obvious breach of human rights.
Yes, I know that these assassinations are the work of the Israelis. But the main issue here is that, for example, the Human Rights Organization, Amnesty International, or the United Nations cannot say with certainty that Israel has assassinated the Iranian scientists, because Israel basically adopts a policy of ambiguity. Look at the recent attacks in Damascus. It never accepts responsibility. Whatever crime Israel has committed, not only against Iran, but also the assassination of Iraqi, Egyptian, or Syrian nuclear scientists, Israel never accepts responsibility, because it wants to follow its policy of ambiguity. This ambiguity policy is a strategic policy for Israel.
Between 2010 and 2012, four Iranian nuclear scientists, Masoud Ali Mohammadi, Majid Shahriari, Daryush Rezai Nejad, and Mustafa Ahmadi Roshan, were assassinated, while another was wounded in an attempted murder. In November 2020, another scientist, Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, was assassinated.
If you examine the fake history of the Zionist regime and look at their destructive actions all over the world, you will see that the policy of assassinating scientists is part of Israel's project. Assassination of Egyptian scientists, assassination of Iraqi scientists, assassination of Pakistani scientists, and some other countries and even European. If the Israeli government identifies a scientist who can lead his or her country to nuclear development and technology, it will definitely assassinate them. The Zionist regime has become bolder because the world and international entities have decided to keep silent.
Of course, these terrorist acts did not deal more than a tactical setback to Iran's nuclear ambitions, analysts say. International experts indicate that an efficient system has been established which is able to pursue the envisioned projects without any hindrance. They also suggest that the loss of the scientists who are known in Iran as nuclear martyrs might have prompted students in other fields to switch to nuclear science. Indeed, Iran needs many more scientists to achieve its ultimate goals of building more nuclear reactors, and extensive use of renewable energies are on the agenda of the government. Today, the nuclear economy has great added value and zero pollution and is considered the cleanest way to produce electricity around the globe, which is why Iranian leaders want to take long strides ahead in nuclear sciences and technology.
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Please do tune in same time next week and each week after. Till next time, take care.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم and welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Brothers and sisters, we really welcome you all. Here we are with Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Ali Nasir, Fawad Haider, and Hassan Nasrullah, students of Sevier International School. So, brothers, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem. So, today, inshallah, we will talk about verses number 53 and 54 of Surah Ali Imran on page 57. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with IRIB English Radio. As you're listening, let's everyone all together go and listen to the recitation of these two ayatain.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbana amanna bima واتبعنا الرسول فاكتبنا مع الشاهدين ومكروا ومكر الله والله خير الماكرين.
Nice one. Alhamdulillah, nice recitation. I really enjoyed. How about you? Did
yes.
you enjoy? Okay. Now we will recite inshallah and we all will enjoy our own recitation. Okay? I'll recite. Make sure you repeat after me. Okay?
Yes.
Let's go. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ربنا آمنا بما أنزلت واتبعنا الرسول فاكتبنا مع الشاهدين.
ربنا آمنا بما أنزلت واتبعنا الرسول فاكتبنا مع الشاهدين.
وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ
وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ
أحسنتم وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ Okay. رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا The Hawariyun, right? The disciples, they said, Rabbana, our Lord, Amanna, we believe. Bima, in what you, Anzalta, sent down. Wattaba'na Rasul, and we follow the apostle, the messenger, Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Faktubna ma'a shahideen. So write us among the witnesses. So. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهِ The Jews, okay? The people who did not follow Prophet Isa alayhi salam, right? The Jews. So they did what? They a lot plotted, okay? They planned a lot to do something to harm Prophet Isa alayhi salam, to do something to make him stop preaching the religion of the religion of Allah Almighty, okay? They did a lot to kill even Prophet Isa alayhi salam. With his Hawariyun, with his friends, disciples. Okay, for what? وَمَكَرُوا They did this. وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ Allah Almighty also did his plan. They did a lot of plans, okay? They planned a lot of things. Okay? Tomorrow, this time, we'll kill him. Tomorrow, this time, we'll do this. Tomorrow, blah, 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 like this. They wanted to do a lot of things. Allah Almighty also planned here. What did Allah Almighty plan? To protect him. So who is the winner?
Allah.
Huh?
Almighty.
Allah Almighty. Yes. So, Wallahu khayrul makirin. Come on. Wallahu khayrul makirin. Allah is the one who knows best how to plan. Not you. Yeah? I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to the Jews who were plotting against Prophet Isa alayhi salam. So, guys, we all have to know this, okay, that whenever we plan something, okay, It's us who plans, okay? And once Allah Almighty plans, so the plans that Allah Almighty makes, okay? The things that Allah Almighty, the decisions that Allah Almighty make, okay? They are much stronger, not comparable, because He has the all knowledge. He knows the goodnesses, the badnesses, the future, the effects, the impacts, whatever, okay? Allah Almighty knows everything, and if He plans, it's better, yes?
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
Yes. So we all have to ask Allah Almighty, inshallah, to plan us, to give us this confidence, to give us this belief, okay? To understand, to give us this knowledge, to understand that Allah Almighty is the one who knows everything. Allah Almighty is the one who plans best for us. Okay? In the ziyarat of Aminullah, we have one dua. It's very important. I want you to refer. Brothers and sisters, I just read it, okay? I want you to refer to the explanation. Allahumma faj'al nafsi mutma'innatan biqadarik, radiyatan biqada'ik, till the end. Refer to this dua, read the translation, it's amazing. Okay? I want you, inshallah. So, guys, let's move on with the important tajweed rules, inshallah. And into the tafsir books as well. They are available, inshallah, you can refer and study more about these verses.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So, Rabbana, I think the very first important point is the pronunciation of the letter Ra. What do you think?
Yes.
It should be the letter Ra, yes? Yeah. Because it's important. Sometimes it's pronounced heavily. Sometimes it's pronounced. تَخْفِيمُ الرَّا تَرْقِيقُ الرَّا We have here, as Fawad said, it is
تَخْفِيمُ الرَّا
We don't have تَخْفِيم We have تَفْخِيم Oh, you want it Oh, it's month of Ramadan, maybe Yeah, we sometimes feel dizzy and we will make mistakes. That's okay. That's natural. That's natural. I feel you. I understand you. رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا. So the mad on رَبَّنَا and the word رَبَّنَا at the end. And you see there is a hamza in the next word. So is that mad, wajib, or jais? What do you think?
It's jais. Yeah,
it's jais. Jais munfasil.
Yeah.
They're in separate words. رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا. You can stop. I mean, skip the mat. You can stretch the mat. You're allowed to. آمَنَّا نُون مُشَدَّد. Right, Hassan?
Yes.
بِمَا أَنزَلْتَ. Again, mat plus a hamza. Again. جَائِز مُنْفَسِل. You're allowed to stretch or skip it. Right? Very simple. وَاتَّبَعْنَا. وَاتَّبَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ. Aha. There is an important rule. Sometimes we make mistake. وَاتَّبَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ. Instead of reciting this way, you got to skip that mat. Join عين. Sorry. Noon to ra. وَاتَّبَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ. بَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ. Right?
Yes.
وَاتَّبَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ. فَكْتُبْنَا. Fawad must say this.
قَلْقَلَ.
Ah, فَكْتُبَ. فَكْتُبَ. نَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Right? مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. No. شَاهِدِينَ. فَكْتُبْنَا. I mean that ba, okay? By sakin. Fawad. Bounce the sound. That was great. Next one. Next ayah. Oh, one more thing. Fawad always reminds me. Thank you so much. What's that?
مد عارض لسكون.
مد العارض لسكون. Great. مع الشاهدين. When you stop here, because there is a long vowel E sound, you can stretch it, right?
Yes.
فكتبنا مع الشاهدين. Right? Yeah. And when you stop, the harakat of noon, the fatha changes to
سكون.
ومكروا. وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ. Right? مَكَرُ has an U sound. مَكَرَ اللَّهُ has a heavy sound. Allah, because there is a fatha before. Let's review the rules. If based on the تَفْخِيم and تَرْخِيق of letters, okay? Heavy and light letters. So the letter Lam, basically it is a light letter. Yes? It's a light letter.
Yes.
A sound. Lam. La ilaha illallah, right? La. But there are two cases for la. If Ali Nasir, let's review. If there is a fatha or kasra before the word Allah, we are talking about the lam, the letter lam in the word Allah or Allahumma.
Yes.
If we got a fatha or a dhamma before the word Allah, so the letter lam in the word Allah will be pronounced with a heavy sound, with an a sound.
Yes.
Like what? Like what this one here. Huh? Look. Maka Ra then Allah. Maka. Read it.
Makarallah.
Ah, makarallah. Heavy sound. Yes? Or in the previous ayah. Nahnu ansa rullah. Right?
Yes.
So if we have a kasra sound, yeah, you have to pronounce it with a light sound.
Light sound.
La. Like here in the previous ayah we had. Amanna billah. Bismillah.
Habibullah.
Habibullah. Yeah, my name. Yeah, it's heavy. Good job. Thank you so much for the example. So, wamakaru wamakarallah. That was the rule, okay? You mentioned. There is a word sila on the top. Sala, do you see that? Huh?
Yes.
Sala tells us what? It's a sign of stopping.
Yes.
It says you can stop.
No.
Right?
Both. Better to continue.
Better to continue.
Better to continue, but you can stop also.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you can do it. Okay. We have one, something just the opposite of this. Sala and
Qila.
Qila. Qila tells us?
Better to stop.
Better to stop. Good job. So, Wallahu. Now here, look. Wow, we have, which has a fatha in the word Allah. The letter lam in the word Allah will be pronounced with a heavy sound. Wallahu خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Make sure خَ is important, okay? You have to pronounce it with a heavy sound when it has a fatha. خَ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. خَ خَيْ. Alright? مَاكِرِينَ. That's all. You can stretch the sound. مَدُّرْ عَارِضْ لِسْكُونَ. So, now that we know all the tajweed rules in these two verses, ayatain, okay, let's go on and repeat. I'll repeat the reading, okay? The recitation. Make sure you repeat after me.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Ready?
Yes.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ربنا آمنا بما أنزلت واتبعنا الرسول فاكتبنا مع الشاهدين.
ربنا آمنا بما أنزلت واتبعنا الرسول فاكتبنا مع الشاهدين.
ومكروا ومكر الله والله خير الماكرين.
ومكروا ومكر الله والله خير الماكرين.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Ahsantum, mashallah. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for being with us with IRIB English Radio. And we really recommend you stay with us in the coming stations, inshallah, the same day, the same time tomorrow, inshallah, we'll be here with you. Ali Nasir, Fawad, Hassan, and Hussein, thank you so much for being with us. See you, inshallah, in the coming stations. Is there any questions? Anything to say?
No.
Thank you so much. Okay, we'll be here with you. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International Schools Network. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.